Carla, could you call item 748?
Authorize a competitive solicitation and price agreements for furnishing sewer improvements for non-conforming sewer conversions, project number E087484, for an estimated $3 million annually.
Madam President, Scott Gibson is here today to walk us through this ordinance. The Bureau of Environmental Services has a non-conforming sewer conversion program to promote efficient urban development while also protecting public health and the environment. In an effort to apply uniform sewer connection standards for developed and developing properties, BES constructs sanitary sewer extensions to properties that are currently served by non-conforming sewer connections. We have Matthew Hickey from the Bureau of Environmental Services here to further describe the purposes of the ordinance, and of course he's joined by Scott Gibson. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, Madam President, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Scott Gibson. With me here today is Matthew Hickey, and Matt Hickey runs our nonconforming sewer program at BES. BES needs to construct sanitary sewer extensions and branches directly to properties that are currently served by nonconforming sewer connections in accordance with the city code. The ordinance authorizes BES to use a competitive solicitation process in order to obtain the most responsible and responsive offers for price agreements for this work. The estimated cost is $3 million annually. These are typically in the range of $100,000 to $200,000 per task order. BES completes the design plans, specifications, as well as managing the construction while the work is performed by the contractors. These price agreements will be competitively bid to the Prime Contractor Development Program. The primary goal of this program is to increase disadvantaged minority and women prime contractors' participation in city public improvement projects, and the PCDP is a part of the social equity contracting strategy for the city. We had a little bit of a snafu. I think our presentation didn't make it over here this morning, so we're going to audible, and I'm going to have Matt walk you through some of the basics of his program and answer any questions about the projects.
Thank you, Scott. And again, I'm Matt Hickey. I'm a senior engineer with BES in the Systems Development Group. And since 2008, I've been the lead engineer on what's called the Nonconforming Sewer Program. You may know the general scope of that is when two properties may share a sewer system or a property may have, in fact, a private sewer line in the right-of-way. So this is a difficult situation for property owners. I've given you a simple example of a party sewer on the left. Property B doesn't have a sewer in front of them. Historically, none was ever built. They had taken the route through property A, and property A now in 2017 would like to improve their property, and that route of service is no longer viable. So beginning in 2008, we recognized that the city needed to step up and provide a program to do some sewer extensions on behalf of property owners such as these, and that's what our focus is. So the magic green arrow simply means that we're going to convert the situation to each property then having its own branch to a sewer main. So that's the focus of my work. We're here today to talk about one specific route of getting that work done, and that's through the use of on-call contracts for building the public sewer extensions. Each time one of these would come up, we initially tried to do the standard bid project, and oftentimes that would run us very close to a time frame that made further development or fixing emergencies very tight. So we came up with a way to do price agreements with various contractors in the Prime Contractor Development Program and its predecessor so that we would have agreed upon prices and we would just have to develop the technical designs that they could implement. We would have a basis for knowing what that would cost and we could move forward quickly. So the bottom line is to keep existing customers in service. And that's what we do, driven by heavily development climate right now and failing private sewers. We often are able to meet the six-month deadline that one property can impose upon another. So I have a couple examples for you of projects that we recently completed this half of the year. The first one is the La Happy Restaurant on Northwest 16th Avenue. It's a small restaurant, and we came upon them with notice of a demolition of about a quarter block area for new development. It was found that their sewer crossed into the developing area and then, in fact, went out in the street into an old clay line, which was also private, and went 150 feet. So that was not a sustainable scenario, and the neighbor California developer has been very good to work with. They understood that we couldn't make it happen this week, but we needed the 6 months, and so they followed all our directions in terms of notifying the property owner of the restaurant this needed to be done. There were also a need to grant them a small easement because the developments are property line to property line there, so they in fact did grant an easement, and that's going to allow for us to get them connected and remain in service as a viable business. So that's a success story.
Do the businesses bear the cost of these improvements?
So the business being served pays what's called a conversion charge that gets set each year. And then in addition to that, they have to have private plumbing as well. So they do bear a portion of the cost, but it's pretty heavily subsidized.
Commissioner, just one way of thinking about it is we cover the main sewer lines that are underneath the public rights of way. And it is the responsibility of the business or the homeowner to connect to the sewer.
Got it.
Up to their property line.
Thank you. On the next slide, I titled Northeast 24th Avenue, a failed private line in the right-of-way. This is one of the more shocking historic type of situations for folks that they feel just amazed that there are private sewer lines under the streets that were historically built. And so this is an example of four properties, a couple of which were having flow problems and gave us a call, and we let them know that this would require a public sewer extension and a conversion and those things. So we put in roughly a little over 200 feet of mainline pipe and four services. We work closely with the homeowners to connect those services live so that they didn't have additional plumbing costs. It's also a street that was very busy. We also use a trenchless technology on the laterals to limit the amount of paving done and sidewalk restoration required. So we just finished that up in March and was a very successful project.
Do we have an idea of where all these things are happening around the city, or do they just emerge when sewage starts backing up?
Yes. Well, we have what's called, I call it a measle diagram now. We went ahead and labeled each property that we suspect that could be in this situation. And so if you can imagine, they just dot the landscape. Yeah. And so this is an equity-based program, and I've covered every neighborhood, every quadrant in town several times over already. So they are very common in the older combined sewer neighborhoods of southeast, northeast, and north, but they
yes,
stretch.
So Matt has a proactive approach, but many of them are reactive. Real estate agents are recommending to home buyers that they have their sewer inspected before, and oftentimes that is when the current owner becomes aware that their sewer is nonconforming and there's an issue, and so it has negative impacts on development, redevelopment, property sales. So the structure that Matt has set up with these in-place construction contracts and ability to move relatively quickly to a resolution is what we're here in support of today.
The next slide is just a review of the last contracts we had, fiscal year 16 and 17, utilizing the Prime Contractor Development Program. We had two WBE firms and two emerging small business firms that were the low bidders. Those contract values like totaled about $500,000 a year maximum. And so with an overall budget of $2 million, I got four contracts. And so this is their utilization and over 20 projects completed in the 2 years. And their work order amount averages are there. It's not a strict you're up first, you're up next, you're up third, you're up fourth. There just happened to be so much work that it was able to be spread out among them. It meets their goals of when they're available because they all carry a busy workload for small firms. So, but most of them were utilized at least 80 to 90%. So very busy. In closing, the overall would be to establish a first year contract with the ability to re-up it 2 more years, so a total of 3 years. If approved, I would move to work with purchasing in detail starting next month. Initially, we would target 4 contracts from the Prime Contractor Development Program, Tier 3 and Tier 4. Tier 4 is the newer tier, goes up to $1 million annually per contract, and they are required to provide oversight and guidance for the lower tier of contractors. This has been used over the last 6 years very successfully, and we're looking to have a budget move to up to $3 million a year annually.
So. Great. Carla, is there any public testimony?
No one signed up.
Colleagues, any discussion? Well, I would just like to thank you for your presentation, and I enjoy learning something new every day. And today, it was the term party sewer.
Very good.
Not what you might think, eh?
No, I don't want to think about it too hard.
It really is no party.
Yeah. So this is the first reading, and we'll move it to second reading. Carla, could you?